Time for the Positive Chats podcast, and we are going to be talking with Amelia Mattia about the book Rooted in Life, The Power of a Sound Mind. And let's connect with Amelia in South Africa. Good morning, Amelia.
Good morning, Jake. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
It's hot. It's very hot.
Yeah, it's winter here, but summer there. So we're cold, you're hot. Oh. There's no in between.
No, things are good. God is good either way.
Thanks to you for your time this morning here, this afternoon there, to talk about Rooted in Life. But to get started, let's learn a little bit more about Amelia. How'd you come to know Christ? How'd you end up writing a book about having a sound mind?
Well, it's a long story. But when I was 14, I was in a car crash, and I was very, very, very sick afterwards. They believed I died at the car crash, and I had a near-death experience. And so, and what I encountered was so much different than normal church would teach. I saw, you know, I had this feeling of peace and love, and I started seeing God in a very different light, in a, you know, his glory is overpowering. It's lovely. And I've always been interested in mental health and in psychology, psychotherapy at most, but it seemed that science only went thus far and people did not have anywhere to go from there. And people are looking for healing. And they're looking for answers, but the world can't provide that. So, and a long time ago, I started praying for people for physical healing. And I've seen thousands of miracles. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears, and the lame walk, and cancers drop out. And the Lord started taking me deeper into him. And I saw the minds of people and how tormented some were. And he helped me, and I developed a way to help those who cannot be helped by normal medical intervention. And that's why I wrote the book. I believe it is within our reach, within everyone's reach, to improve our mental health for the better, because there is freedom. There is freedom in Christ. But when you don't understand how the mind works, and it's not like the DSM, you know, the DSM is this thick book with all the mental health problems. But if you just understand that the crux of the matter, that you are loved, you belong, you are one, you are cherished, and he lavishes love on us. It's not like he's holding anything back. He lavishes on us. So if you apply the tools in the book that I give, it will provide you with that sense of belonging and comfort. And I've had so many reviews and people tell me how the book has changed their life. And that's how the book was birthed. It was birthed by simply me learning more about God and putting science and theology and psychology together and seeing, well, everything points to Jesus. Yeah, so that's it.
So some might say, well, no, it's all scripture, but God created these bodies in a certain way. What would you say to those that say, no, it's all God, a God thing? Well, in a way, science is a God thing too. Can you dig deeper into that a little bit more?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I look at science and I look at God and I'm thinking, you know, he's the one that created everything. And I love these philosophers who come to have, you know, they want to have arguments. And but when you take it back to things like, you know, no one can exist without God. So if you bring it back to the very beginning, what was in the very beginning? Nothing. Something had to be created from something. Something can't come from nothing. And so that's why in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. God was that Word. And they were face to face. The words, the Logos, the very beginning. And when I see science, I see how God has made us beautifully, and everything is entangled. Everything in you is entangled. I have doctors and psychologists. Today I saw the doctor. He comes to see me every Thursday. Doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists who come and see me. And what they don't understand is everything is entangled. So they come with pain. They come with insomnia or anxiety or whatever it is. And when you start speaking to their spirit, their body heals. And when you start speaking with the body, the spirit heals. And it's everything is just entangled. It's a beautiful, almost, can I say, mess that only he knows how it works, because he's the one in whom we abide and we exist. And he knows how we are wired. And we're wired for one thing, and that's love. And inside of love, we have that sound mind where we can see things from a distance and go, this is the sound mind. This is what we've been created for. So, yeah.
So you are a sound mind practitioner. What is, and you say psychologists are coming to see you. What's the difference between a sound mind practitioner and a psychologist?
Sound mind is something I've developed. I've studied in cognitive behavior. So it's a form of psychotherapy that teaches you that all thoughts that you have a response on your body. So this is very interesting. But, you know, for every thought that you have, your body will have a physical reaction. And you have about 60,000 thoughts a day. If you're a woman, you might have 80. but you'll have a lot. And you can just imagine if 75% of those are negative, what happens in your body? So the scripture talks about the leaves or the healing for the, you know, they'll be like trees planted by the river. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. And what's very interesting, Jake, is that we have nerves in our brain, our neurons, that looks like trees. When you start thinking about something that is not good for you, when you relive something, trauma or whatever it is, something that triggers you, your brain, those neurons will start releasing cortisol, which uses all your organs, makes you sick, makes you depressed. And that's where scripture comes in. That's where I teach people. Think about, you know, Philippians, think about what is good, what is proper, what is noble, and the God of peace will be with you. So I teach people on peace and how to have peace and to how to walk in peace and walk in the light. So yeah, what I'm trying to do is teach other people to do what I do so that we can multiply what I'm doing so that more people help more people. And the church needs to be equipped in this. So, yeah.
Well, I took a biology class back in college, and the things that stood out for me from remembering that class was psychosomatic illness. He pretty much the whole semester talked about how, you know, stress and psychosomatic illness has an effect on your body, a negative effect on your body.
Yeah.
That was the whole class, a basic biology class. So it must really be important.
Yeah. I have a client, Jake, who has, he's gone to every cot, you know, he's got this pain and no one could tell him what this, it's in his lungs almost, he can't breathe. And he went to every doctor you can think of and they tell him there's nothing wrong with you. He said, but I can't breathe. And so I went back into his years as a child and he went through a lot of trauma. And things were, he got triggered by his mother. Not his real mother, his stepmother. And so he was so scared of her that he couldn't breathe. And now, years later, he gets triggered by things. And then he can't breathe. And then he gets this pain. So now I work, you know, if you look at the cognitive model, the cognitive model works different than normal psychology. So cognitive model is, you have a certain situation. The situation is interpreted. Okay, so I will look at something, you will look at something, we see totally different things. The situation interpreted, that interpretation will then go into a thought. Now, this is where the power is in the thought. The thought will then go into an emotion. Emotion will then go into a behavior. So when I can change the thought, I can change the behavior. You can't just change something like depression. You can't change something like anxiety, but you can change the thought behind that. You can change the trigger. That's where I use things like exposure therapy, where you introduce something, you know, it's small, a little bit at a time. If you are scared of water, let's, you know, put your toe into the water. Okay, next week we'll put your feet into the water. So psychosomatic pain is real. It's real. we're all entangled. It's not just the body. It's not just the spirit. It's not just this. God has made us beautiful. It's a beautiful mess, and we love by Him.
We're talking with Amelia Mattia about her book, Rooted in Life, The Power of a Sound Mind. Now, you have several chapters that talk about different emotional topics, I guess you could say, that can trigger some of these things, including anxiety, hopelessness, depression, toxic relationships, self-destructive behavior, even anger management. Can you give us a few examples of you with those topics on how that affects our body and how we can overcome it?
Well, if I can look at, you know, I'll give an example that is works with children, it works with adults, it works with most of these things. So, for example, anger management or anxiety. Those, you know, there's a trigger, something, or you can feel in your body something is happening. You will start breathing, you'll start sweating, you will start maybe feeling dizzy. And that's when people start losing it because they don't know how to stop the trigger. But something I teach, something I'm very big on, Jake, is self-regulation. I need my clients, whoever they are, to self-regulate so that you don't need me 24/7 and you're able to self-regulate. So when I think about anger management, for example, I would teach the following. When you start getting those feelings, those triggers, maybe you started to breathe fast or you see red or whatever, then I want you to imagine a sign about, let's say, 50 meters from you that says, stop. And I want you to breathe, because when you breathe, you help your body to work with the adrenaline that is producing. And so then I want you to see the stop, this sign coming closer, saying stop, stop, stop. And so when you teach your brain to stop what it's doing, it actually listens to you. When you teach it to stop, it listens to you. And yeah, that's one of the things which I teach in anger management is wonderful, anxiety as well. There's also things like, for example, I don't know if you've gone through the whole book, but I've taught things like, for example, to work with your thoughts. So if you would have a certain thought, let's say any thought, oh my goodness, I can't think about anything at this moment. But what I want you to do is then put that thought on trial. So you're, for example, in a courtroom, and you have evidence that supports and evidence against. So let's say, for example, you think you're not a good mother. Then I want you to put the evidence that you have saying that you're a bad mother, and then the evidence that you're actually a good mother. And so the evidence that you're a good mother will far outweigh the evidence as a bad mother. And so this takes time, but after a while, your brain gets so used to it that cognitive models are A, B, C, or D. What are you going to do? Because it has cognitive CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, has got, you know, when clients sit with me, I listen to them, we talk about some things, and we talk about their past and their trauma. But at the end, we go, okay, what are we going to do tomorrow? What is it that you're going to do? it may seem cold, but it has little interest. CBT has little interest about your past. And that's why it's such a high impact, because you train your brain to think differently. It's neuroplasticity. So let me give you a simple example. Let's say you live on a farm and there's a shop about a mile away. And so you walk in the dirt road to the shop. If you walk the same path every day, there's going to be, you know, a little dirt way that you've been walking with your feet. And that's exactly what your brain does. So what I teach is to think completely different, to interpret things completely different. And that's where freedom comes in, because your brain will start releasing the chemicals or the hormones that actually heal you, and they don't make you sick anymore.
And we're talking with Amelia Mattia. The book is called Rooted in Life, The Power of a Sound Mind. Now, Amelia, with coronavirus and division and economy, all this stuff going on right now, how can we have a sound mind in all this?
Jesus, that's the only thing. That is the only thing that keeps grounded. You know, what I do is I teach people to stay off the news. Like, just switch it off. Switch it off, because you don't really know what's truth. You don't know what the media is doing. I haven't watched news since I don't even know when. I don't read things on social media. The only thing I focus on, the only reality I know, is Jesus. That is the only thing I know. That is the only way, the only reality I have. And I've realized when people start getting to that place of who God is, they take their mind off the things of the world. It's not like we're ignorant, but we know that He's so much more powerful than anything else in this world. Everything is created by Him, through Him, and for Him. And there's nothing that this world can do that can separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus. So my main focus is on Jesus, and then applying, you know, the things that I have in the book, I apply them myself as well, where I decide, is this good for me? Is this bad for me? Is this good for my mental health? Is this bad for my mental health? And I have seen so many differences in how much lighter I feel, you know, how much more equipped I am when I apply things. And what God has given us, the sound mind. We have a sound mind. We should just learn how to use it.
Now, one chapter that really is sticking out at me, and you mentioned social media, whether it's social media or in person, toxic relationships. A lot of the things we talk about is kind of like in the mind, but here, toxic relationships is actually physical connection with other people. What do you say in that about toxic relationships?
Oh, it's a hard one, because, you know, I would see clients and they would tell me about the toxic relationships that they are in, and they don't know how to get out. And, you know, what I would always say to, because you can see the person is actually dying in front of your eyes, that there's no more light. There is nothing going on anymore. And so, you know, one thing that always stands out, are you a father, Jake?
Yes, and grandfather.
Grandfather. Do you have a daughter?
Yes, two of them.
Okay. So you, as a good father, would you want your daughter to live in a toxic relationship?
No way.
Would you want her to be abused at all?
No.
Okay, absolutely. So now, why would we think that God wants us to live in a toxic relationship that kills us, with anyone for that matter? You know, we must pray for people, but there's something that, you know, when Jesus talks, he talks to the Pharisees and he says, you know, when he talks about the prodigal son, he says, they talk about God and, you know, it's like who they think God is. But Jesus says, you don't know who he is. And then he starts speaking about the prodigal son. And it's really not about the prodigal son. I think it's more about the father, the goodness of the father. And as the son goes away, the father gives him his inheritance. And he then comes back and he thinks, I'll just tell my father, I'll just be a servant. And as he's coming close, the father sees him and runs to him, holds him close and kisses him. And the son still wanted to say, I'm sorry, you know, but the father drowned out his repentance by saying, it doesn't matter, you are home. So God is so much better. That's what Jesus says. He says, you think you're good fathers to your children? You have nothing on my father. And so I think it's something where we need to go, what does God think about this? You know, I'm a big thinker. So I always think, what does God think about this? What is God's heart for something? And what I've learned with looking at people in toxic relationships, at first, I don't know if it's, you know, the healthiest thing to do, but I would tell them that there's only a few people in your life that you bring in, and that's in your inner world. Because it's like a butterfly. When, you know, I don't know if you know this, but if butterflies have this powder on their wings, and when you pick up a butterfly, don't touch the wings, because the wings have the powder and the powder makes them fly. But when they don't have powder, they can't fly. And we allow too many people to touch our wings, so we stop flying and people die spiritually. So, yeah, that's what I want to say is,
wow.
Decide who you want to have in your inner world and who is good for your mental health, and pray for the rest and hope they receive healing. That's the best thing, because people will take and take and take and take from you. And us as empaths need to learn to say no, because people who take don't really know how to.
Amen. The book is Rooted in Life, The Power of a Sound Mind. We've been chatting with Amelia Mattia. Amelia, how can people get a hold of this book?
Well, the book is on Amazon. You can just go to Amazon, Rooted in Life, The Power of a Sound Mind. You can also go to my website. It's www.amelamattia.com.
All right. And Amelia Mattia. Mattia is spelled M-A-T-H-E-E. If you need that information again, you can text us here at the studio. And we'll have this podcast available on our website in the coming days that you can access at any time and listen again, or maybe share with a friend, because I'm sure all of us would have somebody that would certainly need to hear this conversation this morning. Amelia, real quick, can you give us, for those that are struggling with something, whether it's anxiety, depression, what's the first step that they need to take besides get your book?
Okay. So let me give you... You know, I've got so many testimonies, but the psychiatrists and psychologists send people to me if they don't have any more hope, because they know I do something and they don't really know what it does, but it works. And what I would do with these people, if they're Christian, if they're not Christian, really doesn't matter, because God is God over everyone. And when they see his beauty, it's like a moth to the flames. They are, you know, drawn closer to him. If you are struggling with depression, if you are struggling with anxiety or loneliness or whatever that is, I want you to go to that scripture in Philippians that says, think about the good things. Think about that which is noble. Think about things that are praiseworthy. And the God of peace will be with you. So you need to You need that quiet time where you can just have the world away from you and think about God, who majestically holds everything together. And then the peace, that peace that is greater than any human understanding, will fill you and embrace you. And just one more thing, you know, I've heard this poem, and it's called Wrestle, and wrestling with God. And it's all about, you know, we ask God questions. We don't know, you know, what these answers are, and we're tired and we're angry and we want to know, and God doesn't give us the answers. We don't know where the answers are. We don't know where God is. But God then chooses to wrestle with us. And it's in that wrestling where he holds us close and he keeps us near to him. That's where the healing is. So you need to get quiet. You need to wait upon the Lord and get rid of all that the worldly stuff. And then the peace of God will be with you.
Thank you, Amelia Mattia, author of the book Rooted in Life, The Power of a Sound Mind. Thank you for the study and the work that you've done and for writing this book. And we just pray that you continue to have a great impact on people that are struggling. And we hope that many will take up this book and take that first step and turn things around towards that sound mind. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.